I'm Tracy Sable tonight on EWTN News Nightly, Palestinian State. A handful of countries in Europe make a major announcement about the Middle East. We have reaction from the White House. Border battle. Lawmakers renew their debate over how to address immigration. Fight for the unborn. Republican Chip Roy tells us about his efforts to repeal the FACE Act. And a humble request. Pope Francis reminds the faithful of one trait that leads to all other virtues. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of St. Rita of Kasha. Our top story tonight, the Biden administration responds to Norway, Ireland, and Spain, all saying that they will recognize a Palestinian state. Israel, currently battling the terror group Hamas in the Gaza Strip, immediately denounced the decisions. It also recalled its ambassadors from the three countries. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Tracy, when asked about the three nations recognizing a Palestinian state, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters today, quote, each country is entitled to make its own determinations, going on to say, but the U.S. position on this is clear.
The Irish Prime Minister calls it an historic and important day for Ireland and for Palestine.
Our decision to recognize Palestine should not have to wait indefinitely, especially when it is the right thing to do.
But Israel slams the move, charging that Ireland, Norway, and Spain are telling Hamas the October 7th massacre paid off.
Ireland, Norway, and Spain have decided to reward the terrorists of Hamas with the prize of recognizing a Palestinian state.
In the White House press briefing room, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan addresses reporters.
President Biden, as I just said, has been on the record supporting a two-state solution. He has been equally emphatic on the record that that two-state solution should be brought about through direct negotiations through the parties, not through unilateral recognition.
Palestinian leaders welcome the announcements as an affirmation of their decades-long quest for statehood in East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip. But the announcement, largely symbolic, comes on the heels of the International Criminal Court seeking arrest warrants for both Israeli and Hamas leaders. Earlier this week in the Rose Garden, at an event celebrating Jewish American Heritage Month, President Joe Biden blasted the ICC's move.
Let me be clear. We reject the ICC's application for arrest warrants against Israeli leaders. Whatever these warrants may imply, there is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas.
For now, the seven-month-old war in Gaza drags on.
In terms of how we look at Rafah, as I've said before, the key concern that we have is major maneuvers into dense urban areas, and that continues to be something that we will look at. What we have seen so far has not been that.
And in yet another image of the horror of the ongoing war, families releasing these pictures of several female hostages abducted by Hamas on October 7th. Israeli soldiers, their hands bound and against the wall.
And separately tonight, President Joe Biden this week welcoming Kenya's President William Ruto for a state visit that'll include formal talks, a news conference, and a state dinner. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
The Republican National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C. was on lockdown for most of the morning. Sources tell EWTN News Nightly that someone sent vials of blood to the building through the mail and a few of the vials broke. A hazardous materials team from the U.S. Capitol Police cleaned the area and tested the blood. The RNC headquarters reopened several hours later. No one was injured. The Senate has become ground zero for border politics once again. Republicans are vowing to block the same bipartisan border security deal as they did months ago. The question is, why bring the bill up a second time when it's not going to pass? Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us now with the answer. Eric.
Well, good evening, Tracy. Yes, this is all about political theater. And let's not forget, it is an election year. Both sides are telling me that they don't expect the bill to even survive a procedural vote tomorrow. Senator James Lankford, the chief Republican who negotiated the deal, claims Democrats want Americans to think that they care about the border when he says all they have to do is bring back, that is, the Trump-era policies, and that'll keep the border safe.
And many of us, including for myself, that actually worked on the original language, is saying, why? This is not about trying to pass something. This is about a show vote in this body to show, look, we tried to vote on something and those mean Republicans blocked it.
Not so, say Democrats, including Senator Chris Murphy, who was also involved in those original talks.
Democrats care about border security. We care about immigration reform. We are not willing to walk away from a bipartisan bill that we worked for 4 months to achieve.
By any objective measure, it's strong, tough, and realistic. This is the same bipartisan border bill Republicans pushed for, then backed away when they got orders from President Trump, made an about-face, turned, and then voted no.
Republicans, on the other hand, say Democrats are desperate to score political points.
This has become a political liability, a political vulnerability for the Democrats. I wish they were focused on this issue because they think it's a national security issue. The reason all of a sudden they're interested in doing something, or at least appearing to be doing something, is because they know they've got a big political vulnerability on this.
Other Senate Republicans tell me they want action on H.R. 2, which includes such items like rebuilding the wall and limit asylum eligibility. It passed the Republican-controlled House last May, but that bill hasn't even had a Senate hearing.
It has been languishing in the Senate Judiciary Committee now for a year and 5 days. If they were serious about border security, they would have brought it up, amended it, and brought it to the floor.
It is important to note that even if the Senate somehow does pass this border bill, House Speaker Mike Johnson has repeatedly said that it will be dead on arrival in the U.S. House. Republicans add, bottom line, it doesn't take an act of Congress to reinstate Trump-era policies like the Remain in Mexico policy, which President Biden removed his first day of office. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
Now, space is the next battlefield, and Pentagon officials say they believe Russia recently launched a counter-space weapon satellite capable of targeting U.S. satellites.
Russia launched a satellite into low Earth orbit that we assess as likely a counter-space weapon, presumably capable of attacking other satellites in low Earth orbit.
Well, the new satellite is in the same orbit as a U.S. government satellite. The Defense Department says that it will monitor the situation. Russia denies the claims. Military experts are concerned this anti-satellite weapon could knock out or interfere with GPS systems. A U.S. congressional delegation traveled to Turks and Caicos seeking to bring home five American tourists detained there for ammunition charges. The Americans pleaded guilty, saying that they had ammunition in their luggage by mistake. The charges carry a minimum of 12 years in prison.
I got to meet with all the Americans, and I met with all of the leaders there, with all of my colleagues, and it was a very productive conversation, and I was very optimistic about this going to be resolved.
Do you think they will be free then?
I do. I can't say exactly right now, but what I can say that once this runs through the process, I think it is. Nobody wants this to continue, and no one's looking at 12 years kind of a situation.
The court hearings begin in June. A New York court says that companies with health insurance plans are required to cover so-called medically necessary abortions. The court ruled against the Diocese of Albany, which argued the rule would force businesses to violate their religious freedoms. The diocese says that it will appeal the ruling. Several lawmakers on Capitol Hill are pushing to repeal the FACE Act. Last week in the nation's capital, seven pro-lifers were sentenced to prison for charges related to the FACE Act. Specifically, they were put in jail for their attempted rescue mission at an abortion clinic in 2020. And here now to discuss the FACE Act and his efforts to repeal the legislation is Chip Roy, Republican representative from Texas. Congressman, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. First off, I want to get your reaction to some of these recent sentences that have been passed down under the FACE Act. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, Tracy, great to be on, and appreciate the opportunity to talk about this, such an important topic, particularly for those people of faith, people who are pro-life, who are watching the Department of Justice engage in weaponization against people for their views. There's no other way to put it. That's what we're seeing unfold. And you just mentioned sentences. We had a woman that is an activist, by the way, a progressive activist, so someone that I don't agree with on most issues, but who happens to be pro-life, is an organization I've met with before, people who believe that in the sanctity of life, and despite having, frankly, very different views than I do on many things. And this woman received a sentence of 57 months, almost 5 years. And that is what the Department of Justice thinks is carrying out justice, having someone who went to an abortion clinic. And sure, I mean, I think they engaged in blocking entry at the clinic. And perhaps that is a misdemeanor, right? I mean, whatever we think about these abortion clinics, I prefer they not be engaged in what they're doing and being open. But if there's something that you're doing there, it's at most a misdemeanor. We've got people all across this country who are blocking people's ability to go down roads. They're engaged in, you know, blocking people throughout all the stuff that we're dealing with Israel and university campuses. And here we are, and we've got someone who gets 57 months in prison. And now I believe that individual has suffered a stroke while dealing with the fallout of that. So this is horrific. The Department of Justice shouldn't be doing this. We need to call them out. I've been doing that. And I hope we can repeal this legislation and bring it before the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, and you've also, I know you've talked about the lack of protection for houses of worship under the FACE Act. Talk to us more about that. And do you think there's a double standard here?
Well, it sure seems like it. I mean, we've been asking for data. I sent a letter last October. It wasn't responded to. I then raised it again in front of the Department of Justice's head of civil rights, Kirsten Clark. And I said, hey, you know, can you answer the question? She said, oh, sure. You know, we're still waiting to get good information. We get bits and pieces, but not full answers. But what we know from the data is that there's overwhelming prosecution under the FACE Act of people of faith. There's overwhelming evidence that there is significant discrimination and significant amount of targets and attacking of churches and houses of worship across the country. And you're significantly more likely, I think it's like 22 times more likely to have a house of worship being targeted and attacked than you are an abortion clinic. And yet the prosecutions are the opposite kind of ratio, where you've got a significant number of prosecutions under the FACE Act targeting pro-life individuals, but not people who are going after houses of worship. There's clearly a double standard. It's political. And that is when you lose our rule of law. That is when you lose our foundation of our democratic Republican form of government, when you can't trust the law enforcement agencies and the government to carry out things blindfolded, right? Lady Justice is supposed to be blindfolded. The Department of Justice is anything but blindfolded.
Sir, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you, Tracy. Thank you all.
Congressman Roy also says that his efforts to repeal the FACE Act have received a number of co-sponsors, and he plans to bring it before the Judiciary Committee soon. Turmoil in the Midwest as the region is battered with more severe storms. One small town in Iowa suffered damage that Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds calls, quote, devastating.
It's just gut-wrenching. I mean, I was just in Minden, as I said, 3.5 weeks ago, and that was horrific. And I think there's even more debris and just more impaction, more impacted here. So it is just horrific. It's hard to describe until you can actually see it, the devastation.
The tornado ripped through the small town, destroying homes and cars and even damaging a hospital. The storms then moved east to parts of Illinois and Wisconsin, leaving tens of thousands of customers without power. And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including the Vatican and China. Frank Rocha, senior Vatican analyst for EWTN News, takes a closer look at the relationship between the Holy See and Beijing. And Pope Francis has a humble reminder for the faithful. We'll explain. Welcome back. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has set July 4th for the national election. The vote will determine who governs the UK as Sunak's Conservative Party seeks to remain in power. Conservatives have gone through multiple leaders over the past few years. Sunak says that he is prepared to fight for every vote. Pope Francis reminds the faithful that humility brings peace to the world.
Dove non c'è umiltà, c'è guerra, c'è discordia.
At his weekly talk, the Holy Father says that being humble is the foundation of Christian life. He also says humility is what saves us from the evil one and from sins like pride and arrogance. Pope Francis adds that being humble is the gateway to all virtues. All right, now to a significant event in Rome. Various representatives, including the Bishop of Shanghai, attended a conference marking the 100th anniversary of a historic council in China. In a video message to the conference, the Holy Father noted that in the past century, Catholics in China have endured times of patience and trial, and he encouraged them to testify to their faith through works of mercy and charity while promoting the harmony of social coexistence. Joining us now from Rome is Frank Rocca, senior Vatican analyst at EWTN News. Frank, good to be with you today. So what was the importance of this event?
Well, on one level, this was an academic conference at a pontifical university about a historical event, which was in 1924, this first Council of China that was held in Shanghai, which was important. But on another level, this was also about current events, because it was about the Vatican, the Holy See's relationship with China today, which is a very delicate and complex one, because the Chinese Catholics, about 10 million of them, are divided between an official church that's run by the government, with which the Holy See has increasingly close relations, and a so-called underground church of Chinese Catholics who reject government control. So that's a very complex situation. And in this case, the Holy See and I think the official church were showing that their ties are improving, that the Holy See is committed to that relationship despite a number of complications.
Well, Frank, as you know, this conference comes almost 6 years after an agreement between the Vatican and China on the appointment of bishops in that country. What more can you tell us about that for those who may not know about it?
Well, the Vatican agreed with China to give each side a say in choosing bishops and not to appoint any bishops who weren't acceptable to both sides. So on the one hand, that means that the Vatican has avoided the risk of a schism where the Chinese continue to name their own bishops, which they had been doing over the past decades. On the other hand, it means that no bishop that's unacceptable to the Communist Party will be named. There have been relatively few appointments. Only about nine. There are only nine bishops have been named since the agreement was made, and there are about 40 dioceses that don't have any bishops. So in that sense, it's frustrating for the Vatican. They still think it's better than nothing. They say that at least the Chinese agree in principle that the Pope makes these appointments, and that, in a sense, is recognizing his primacy. So they consider that a big success. But they're a long way from having anything like formal diplomatic relations, which is another goal for them.
And Frank, I also understand that the Bishop of Shanghai was at the conference. How significant is that?
Well, it was important in at least a couple of ways. He's the head of the Chinese Bishops' Conference, which, by the way, is a government-controlled body that is not recognized by the Vatican. The fact that the Chinese allowed him to come was not something that the organizers took for granted. And so that's a sign from the Chinese side that they're cooperating. On the other hand, it gave him a very prestigious platform, a Vatican platform. He was speaking alongside very high Vatican officials, the Cardinal Secretary of State and the Cardinal who heads the missionary office. And he presented a vision or a version of the official church in China that is in harmony with Catholic teaching, with the Vatican, with the Catholic tradition. He de-emphasized the side of it that is officially dedicated to supporting Xi Jinping's socialist ideology and the ideology of the Communist Party. So he played that down in a kind of diplomatic move, and no one at the Vatican contested that. So it was another step in diplomacy between the Holy See and the official church in China.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. Frank Rocca, senior Vatican analyst at EWTN News. Thank you again.
Thank you, Tracy.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, saying goodbye. Mourners gather for the funeral of Iran's president. Plus, for the faithful in Colorado seeking a new Catholic high school, it is time for a Rocky Mountain High. We'll explain. In Iran, the Supreme Leader led tens of thousands in mourning at the funeral of the country's president, foreign minister, and others killed in a helicopter crash. Earlier this week, members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps carried the coffins into the service at Tehran University, each of them draped in Iranian flags with their pictures on them. During the funeral, the Ayatollah embraced the grandsons of the president, who had earned the dark nickname, the Butcher of Tehran. There will be two more services before the final barrier on Thursday. Well, the fighting between Israel and Hamas has had a spillover effect. The crisis is directly impacting countries such as Lebanon and has increased the hardships of civilians living there. But one organization known as Caritas Lebanon is trying to change that. For more, we're joined now by Father Michel Aboud, president of Caritas Lebanon. Father, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it. As you know, the October 7th attacks from Hamas on Israel also created a lot of instability in the region and also in Lebanon. Tell us what the situation has been like over the past 7 months.
First of all, thank you very much for this opportunity to be with you. Yes, Lebanon is part of the area here in the Middle East. And the war at Gaza are touching Lebanon and the people of Lebanon. Many people of Lebanon are afraid about this situation.
And Father Aboud, for those who aren't familiar, would you mind telling us about the services that Caritas Lebanon provides? And has that changed since October 7th, the needs?
Look, Caritas Lebanon is working in Lebanon from 50 years. And always we are ready for every crisis. After 7th of October, okay, Caritas Lebanon was ready always. Many people left the south and they came to Beirut and Mount Lebanon and the safe village. Caritas was there, welcomed there, received there in the shelters. And we started to provide them the food, the medicines, the shelters.
And Father, as you well know, Lebanon has faced an ongoing economic crisis and a lot of political instability in the country. How has all of that impacted the work of Caritas Lebanon?
Look, indeed, we were touched by this crisis, and we were shocked and surprised about the level of many people. And we started to touch that in Lebanon, we have the new poor. Many people before the crisis came to us, gave us donation every month, every year. After the crisis in Lebanon, the same people came to us and we were waiting the boxes from their hands. We saw the tear in their eyes. But what we said, God is with us. We love the poor, but the Lord loves the poor more than us. The Lord was with us during all the 50 years. He doesn't leave us in this moment, so that we are working now, we are doing now.
Oh, Father Aboud, thank you so much for talking with us, and thank you for what you do. God bless you.
Thank you very much for your time to dedicate this time for us as Caritas Lebanon and also for the Lebanese people. Thank you very much.
Well, finally tonight, graduations usually are a time for goodbyes, but in northern Colorado, one Catholic high school's commencement featured a welcome development. Officials have broken ground on a new building for St. John Paul II High School. The graduating class this year went to school in a parish in the Fort Collins area, but their commencement took place on the 44 acres expected to be the site of the new campus. The push for a Catholic high school there began back in 1971. It is expected to draw students from 60 miles away, including in Wyoming. The new campus should be ready for the fall of 2025, and it will include a chapel. Aoi, thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.
Thank you.